This is the shape of Texas.
Austin's natural beauty is accessible throughout the city, but especially where the Colorado River forms Town Lake on the southern edge of downtown. Town Lake divides the city north from south. The lake is encircled by a 6-mile loop of gravel and concrete walking trails. There, hundreds of walkers, joggers, and cyclists exercise during the peak morning and evening hours. Crew teams train at Town Lake, synchronizing push and pull as they row in the lake's still waters. The popular hike and bike trail sweeps past a bronze statue of the late musician Stevie Ray Vaughan, an Austin favorite. The trail loops under Mopac Highway, crosses a footbridge, and eventually winds under the Congress Avenue Bridge, home to the largest urban bat colony in North America. Bats have lived there for years, but when the bridge was reconstructed, new crevices underneath made an ideal roost. Today, about 1 million bats live beneath the bridge. They sleep during the day, but at sunset, they awaken and fly to the delight of observers. Town Lake is bordered by Zilker Park, which is ringed by a 30-mile network of hike and bike trails. These trails radiate from a series of creeks and weave through the meadows, past restaurants, and across bridges throughout the city. Joggers who want a cross-country experience and mountain bikers looking for an urban challenge head for the 8-mile Barton Creek Greenbelt Trail. It begins at Zilker Park and winds among wooded creeks. Austin can be considered two cities. One is seen through the windshield. The other is experienced along the hike and bike trails, where the outdoors is celebrated with enthusiasm.
The Pfluger Bridge in downtown Austin was built not for vehicles, but for runners, bicyclists, and pedestrians, offering them safe passage over Town Lake and access to the hike and bike trails along its shores. It's named for the late Austin architect, James D. Pfluger, who designed those trails. Architects Gerard Kinney and Donna Carter of Austin and the engineering firm HDR Incorporated of Omaha led the design team for the bridge. Two opposing curves overlap in the middle to form an elongated hourglass shape that extends 700 feet across the water. The aesthetic curving substructure is constructed with steel girders and reinforced concrete piers. Lining the bridge are low-maintenance galvanized metal railings, light fixtures, and raised planter beds. Metal benches in the 44-foot-wide midsection provide seating that overlooks the Austin skyline and the traffic-clogged Lamar Boulevard Bridge nearby. The concrete roadbed is divided into four lanes for faster and slower foot and bicycle traffic. On the south end of the bridge, the lanes flow into the hike and bike trail along Town Lake and into the street-level sidewalk. On the north end, a helix or spiral-shaped sidewalk and a stairway lead to the trail below. A grassy area in the center of the helix serves as a small amphitheater. Chief Project Architect Gerard Kinney.
Pathways have always been the place where community comes together, whether it's on a street or a mall or a sidewalk or wherever. And so a bridge, particularly if you can design it to accommodate it, is the perfect place to, I think, foster community.
Which has been the case since it opened in 2001. The Pfluger Bridge has become a destination in itself, a venue for weddings and for picnics, and on July 4th, a gathering place where thousands watch the fireworks.
Barton Springs in Austin's Zilker Park is the largest natural swimming pool in any U.S. city. It encompasses 3 acres and sits in a bowl of limestone surrounded by pecan and cottonwood trees. The pool maintains a constant temperature of 68 degrees. It's refreshed each day by as many as 50 million gallons of pure water bubbling up from the Edwards Aquifer. Salamanders, fish, birds, and turtles all swim in Barton Springs, as well as people. Many swim there daily or sunbathe on the grassy slopes beside the springs. The Edwards Aquifer was shaped over millions of years as plates of the earth crashed against one another to form an underground honeycomb of limestone. Rainwater collects and filters in the aquifer, emerging at Barton Springs. The mouth of the main spring is near the swimming pool's diving board. It's 3 feet wide and 6 feet deep and pumps water throughout the pool. The waters of Barton Springs first attracted Native Americans.
In the 1730s, Spanish friars established 3 temporary missions at the site. A century later, settler William Barton built a cabin nearby, and his name stuck for the area. In 1929, city workers built a concrete lower dam at their regular-shaped pool, making it 900 feet long. They also built sidewalks on both banks and an upper dam 3 years later. In 1946, the city erected the Barton Springs Bathhouse, designed by architects Chester Nagel and Dan J. Driscoll. The Beverly S. Sheffield Education Center, inside, is named for an early director of Austin Parks and Recreation who was a frequent swimmer at the springs. The center houses the permanent splash exhibit, where, on hot summer days, visitors can duck in and bone up on the vast geological history of Barton Springs in air-conditioned comfort. Not far from the bustle of downtown Austin, there's a tranquil retreat where visitors can contemplate their place in the natural world. It's the Oriental Garden, tucked away in a corner of Zilker Park. Here, water trickles through a series of small rock-lined ponds and lush greenery sways silently in the wind. The Oriental Garden is the work of one man, Isamu Taniguchi, a retired farmer. He asked park officials in 1969 if he could create a garden. Those were turbulent times, and Taniguchi wanted his garden to embody his hope for peace among mankind. Taniguchi labored every day for 18 months using only hand tools to landscape 3 acres with native plants and local stone. Though its elements are drawn from the Texas Hill Country, Taniguchi's garden evokes the serenity of the Orient. Essentially Japanese in its ordered design, the garden was remindful of the home Taniguchi had left as a young man. Visitors enter the garden along a sloping path that levels off at a rock ledge. From the vantage point of a cozy bamboo tea house, the garden unfurls beneath this overlook. Stepping stones descend through fragrant native trees. The pathway wends its way along the water's edge and across what's called the bridge to walk over the moon. At the garden's north end, koi swim in a large pool. To explain his labor of love, Taniguchi composed a poem titled The Spirit of the Garden. His grandson, Austin architect Evan Taniguchi, reads an excerpt.
It has been my wish that through construction of this visible garden, I might provide a symbol of universal peace. It is my desire for peace of mankind which encouraged me in my voluntary labor to complete this long-dream gift for the city of Austin, this Oriental Garden.
To see the difference that landscaping can make, take a look at the Hotel San Jose in Austin. Today, its 40 upscale rooms cater to musicians and to artists, but it started as something simpler, the San Jose Motel, in 1936. The motel building type dates to the 1920s, when Americans began hitting the road in their automobiles. The San Jose was one of a half dozen motels on South Congress Avenue, then the main route between Austin and San Antonio. The San Jose included rows of cottage-like brick rental units that flanked a narrow courtyard for parking. The two-story manager's unit and front office faced South Congress Avenue. When Interstate 35 was built a few miles east during the 1950s, a new generation of motels sprang up along its access roads. The San Jose hung on until the 1990s, decidedly down at the heels. Then a new owner, Austin attorney Liz Lambert, worked with Lake Flato Architects of San Antonio to give the San Jose a new life. Here's how they did it. They added a building and planted the courtyard and street frontage with privet hedges, herbs, annuals, potted shrubs, and cacti. Pergolas and trees line gravel walks to the hotel rooms and to the swimming pool, and shaded porches are a perfect place where guests can enjoy a drink or breakfast outdoors. The building's got a coat of gray-green paint and red tile roofs. Inside, they were stripped to bare walls and concrete floors. In some units, curtainless walk-in showers replaced bathtubs. New pine plank beds, tables, and benches were patterned after the minimalist sculptures of Donald Judd. They're interspersed with black-wire Italian modern furniture. The Hotel San Jose is a serene part of the resurgence of South Congress Avenue. in the city that calls itself the live music capital of the world. Vision and lots of plants made the difference. The main building at St. Edward's University rises on a bluff south of downtown Austin, its red tile rooftops and Gothic spires etching the sky. From the front steps, there's a panoramic view of the state capitol and the urban skyline. The renowned architect Nicholas J. Clayton designed the four-story structure in the Gothic Revival style with a soaring main tower, slender turrets, pointed gables, and a rusticated facade. It was completed in 1887 after 10 months of construction. Clayton used hand-hewn white limestone on the exterior, which was quarried at the site. Heavy, bright red wooden doors at the front entrance included stained glass windows. In the spring of 1903, a devastating fire ripped through the building, although the main entrance and massive wooden doors were spared. The university commissioned Clayton to oversee the reconstruction, which he completed in time for the fall semester. Much of the limestone on the main building's facade was restored or replaced. For the back exterior walls, workers used less expensive Austin Common brick made of mud dredged from the Colorado River. The main building remains the campus anchor, dominating the more modern structures constructed in the 1950s and 1960s. As campus enrollment grows, it's also setting the tone for new buildings constructed under the university's master plan for the 21st century, which calls for a high standard of architecture exemplified by the historic structure. Among the new buildings is Trustee Hall, designed by Anderson Wise Architects of Austin and completed in 2002. Its design, its scale, and its materials, including red metal shingle roofs, concrete, and brick, respect the nearby main building, but with a contemporary interpretation that's helping to create a cohesive campus. Architect Arthur Anderson says the main building speaks to us of nobility founded in a feeling of permanence.
The calm material presence of the main building forms a central image of St. Edward's campus, and it should inspire future campus architects and the buildings they design, and ultimately the students who are served.
Minutes south of downtown Austin, the Lady Bird Johnson Wildflower Center stands where prairies, desert, and woodlands converge. Nestled among xeric, or dry gardens and restored meadows, the 42-acre compound is a giant show-and-tell exhibit of environmental stewardship. Visitors learn about landscaping with drought-resistant plants, attracting wildlife, and building native materials. The center includes an auditorium, visitors' gallery, library, administration building, seed store, and children's little house. All structures are made of native regional materials, limestone from Comfort, sandstone from Lampasas, and flagstone from Dryden. Recycled concrete, stone, steel, and wood also find new uses here. The thick stones provide insulation. A German dog run between the library and main lobby captures breezes, providing natural air conditioning. At the entryway stands the 10,000-gallon tower cistern, cornerstone of the facility's water harvesting plan. Materials used in the 45-foot cistern echo the area's building history. The sandstone base reflects Spanish mission style of the first European settlers. White limestone blocks typify the masonry work of German immigrants during the mid-1800s. The tin roof recalls 19th-century Central Texas ranch architecture designed to save rainwater. Natural materials help reduce the creation of future waste and also attract birds and wildlife. Pink flagstone walkways lead past cedar sage, Texas prickly pear, flame acanthus, and more than three dozen other regional varieties that bloom in rotation year-round. More than 40 species of birds call the compound home, including the belted kingfisher, blue jay, and wild turkey. Lady Bird Johnson founded the center in 1982 as the National Wildflower Research Center. It moved to the current larger site in 1995 and was recognized for design by the Texas Society of Architects. The Wildflower Center recently was renamed in Mrs. Johnson's honor.
When the Pennybacker Bridge opened in Austin in 1982, it was a milestone. The $11 million structure completed the first traffic loop around the capital city. Its 100-foot-high bowstring arches and lengthy span were a bold stroke of engineering and a work of industrial art. The bridge soars above Lake Austin and provides a breathtaking view of the water and the rugged hill country. Even the approach is dramatic. It's visible from miles along Loop 360 on Austin's western fringe. The graceful Corten steel arches have oxidized over the years to a reddish-brown patina. As drivers draw closer, there is a sense of anticipation that makes crossing the bridge memorable. Viewed from the lake, 70 feet below, the bridge appears to hover overhead. There are no piers set in the water, for that could create boating hazards. Instead, reinforced concrete support columns and concrete beams are embedded in limestone bluffs. The span runs 600 feet across the lake and 1,150 feet from end to end. The bridge is named for Percy V. Pennybacker, Jr., a longtime bridge engineer with TxDOT, the Texas Department of Transportation. It's also called the Lake Austin Bridge and the Loop 360 Bridge. By whichever name, it's become an Austin landmark. In the early planning stages, Transportation Department designers did not anticipate that the bridge would become an icon. Then, the Austin chapter of the American Institute of Architects encouraged TxDOT to design a structure on a par with the world's most picturesque bridges. David McDonald was a member of the design team. He's a TxDOT engineer.
The design team was challenged to create an aesthetic structure, but I don't think anyone truly visualized the far-reaching positive impact on the community and the state. It just all came together magically.
A trip through Italy gave a famous Texas philanthropist a vision that has served Austin for nearly a century. The benefactor was Clara Driscoll, better known as the Savior of the Alamo. In the early 1900s, she helped purchase the historic mission for the Daughters of the Republic of Texas. But Driscoll's work did not end there. Influenced by her sojourn in Italy, in 1916, Driscoll commissioned San Antonio architect Harvey Page to build a Mediterranean-style villa in Austin. She named it Laguna Gloria. It's a three-story cube with a four-story tower, stuccoed concrete walls, and a two-story solarium. The villa sits on a bluff overlooking a natural lagoon of the Colorado River, 5 miles northwest of downtown. The upper portion of the 12-acre property includes formal gardens and curving gravel walks centered on a stand of imported palms. Below, shrubs and oaks spread to the water's edge. And in the villa, you're never far from references to Texas history. A small reproduction of the Rose Window at Mission San Juan in San Antonio is set beside the oak front door. Black wrought iron gates opening to the courtyard once stood on the Capitol grounds. A carved beam set above the ballroom fireplace was a gift to Driscoll that came from the Alamo. In 1936, Driscoll gave Laguna Gloria to an arts group, and until the late 1900s, the villa served as Austin's Fine Arts Museum. The Austin Museum of Art has since moved most of its exhibits downtown. Restoration of the villa by Ford, Powell, and Carson Architects of San Antonio was completed in 2003. Laguna Gloria now provides space for special exhibitions and hosts a lively art fair each fall. Its graceful melding of architecture and landscape has a special place in the hearts of Austin residents who celebrate Clara Driscoll and her vision. The late Charles W. Moore was the consummate architectural trickster, a practitioner of what is called serious play. He loved all kinds of art and architecture, from Northern California ranch houses to classical Greek columns to Balinese puppet theaters. He couldn't resist combining them in his Austin home. Moore started with a 1930s-era bungalow overlooking a freeway entrance ramp. He framed a new entry with a 20-foot tower and a graceful cut metal gate. He clad the house in board and batten siding, painted gray. Inside, he gutted the space from floor to rafters. Outside, he enlarged the south and east walls to accommodate oversized windows. Moore loved ellipses, the near-circular form used by Renaissance and Baroque architects, so he overlaid an ellipse on the floor plan and designed a curved, book-lined hallway that runs from the entryway to the walls of windows facing the backyard. Moore's infectious love of architecture from all lands shows up best in the tall display cases that punctuate the ellipse wall. They are based on 19th century drawings of ancient armor. Moore substituted Mexican folk art masks for the Roman helmets and Navajo kachinas for the breastplates. He painted the surfaces in patterns drawn from Asian textiles. He surrounded the room's fireplace with blue and purple tiles and framed the fireplace with cardboard columns decorated with painted flowers and capped with plywood moose heads. Today, a namesake foundation operates the Charles Moore House and opens it for tours by appointment. This seriously playful Austin home has been cited by the New York Times as one of the nation's more important examples of residential architecture.
For The Shape of Texas, produced by South Texas Public Broadcasting, I'm Bill Clough. Funding is provided by Texas Architect Magazine and the Texas Society of Architects at texasarchitect.org.